Hello, everybody. Welcome to We Like Dota. This is the first episode of the Dota podcast for the rest of us. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and I'm joined this evening by my good friend, Jared Clyde Frog Pedersen. How you doing, Jared?
Doing well, Brian. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful. My wife just made, actually, both of us.
Yes, she was very kind.
Delicious pasta dish with...
Had some shrimp in it.
And some spinach.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Also had some nice Kent water.
Gah, yes, Kent water, baby. Number four best tasting in the country.
Ever.
If you're listening to this, all two of you, we are...
Thanks for that, guys.
We're happy that you're listening. Basically, Jared and I, we really like podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We like talking to each other.
We like talking to each other.
And hearing it later.
And we also really like Dota quite a bit. And we kind of noticed that there was this vacuum, I guess.
Yes, a vacuum.
A good, casual, friendly Dota podcast.
Right. One that's not necessarily super about technique. Not about, like, all strategies, and you have to be super on the inside. We really, when we got into this, we didn't know much about it.
Right.
We still don't.
Still don't.
No, not at all. But there needs to be something to introduce people, and right. For the casual listener, where they can listen in and just have fun.
Right. And that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
I will say, we do know more than what we used to.
Oh, well, yeah, that happens.
There's a certain point where you go... We're like, all right, I got this game figured out, and you go, I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's when you realize that you will never know everything,
right.
And that's absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably something that I really like about the game.
Absolutely,
it's got a very high skill cap.
Yeah, there's a very large amount that you can learn, and it feels like once you have one mechanic down, then you can learn something else. Or start concentrating on item builds, things
correct.
Like that.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of why we're doing it. I guess what would you put our current skill level at right now, Jared?
I would go middle of the road, right below.
Okay. So like a medium minus.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we're in a grading scale, like a C minus D plus.
Yeah.
I think we're better than beginners, but we're not better than beginners when they're beginning.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I've got about, I think around 150 matches under my belt.
That's a lot.
Which in the grand scheme of things,
it's not a lot.
It's not a lot. So whether, you know, at this point, if you've heard that I've played 150 matches, you're either comforted and want to keep listening or you're disgusted and have turned the podcast off.
Right. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's fine. If, you know, maybe it's not the show for you.
No, but yeah. We're going to have fun.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
And myself, I think I'm maybe at 70 or 80.
Okay.
So I'm about halfway to where you are.
But you, at least in my experience, the knowledge mm-hmm. that you have about the game does not reflect that you've played 70 matches.
That's fair.
It's much higher. I think right. your book knowledge of the game is much higher.
Well, at my current job, I have the ability to listen to a lot of things, which is one of the correct. Reasons that I found this vacuum, because when I got into Dota, I was like listening to a lot of podcasts. And I tried to find one, and there isn't one. Not the target audience that we're looking to fulfill.
Correct.
So I started listening to matches mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there's tons of replays on YouTube.
And so many.
Twitch is always great.
So many.
So that's pretty much what I do mm-hmm. for 40 hours a week while I'm working mm-hmm. is listen to Dota matches now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's where you cut your teeth.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. So yeah, let's maybe talk a little bit about our history with games.
Okay.
I was brought up on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes,
NES,
the quite sure. useful NES. Two buttons.
Two D-pad. Buttons. D-pad.
Yeah. Start select.
That's right. But yeah, I think recently, I used to be somewhat into StarCraft II. I like to follow the competitive scene with StarCraft II.
Sure.
And I tried to play multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
But that game is so stinking hard to get into, even on a basic level.
Well, I played StarCraft 1.
Which was even worse.
Yeah.
There's so many things you have to learn, like, mechanically. And
yeah. I felt like I was never doing enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what some people really like about it. You know, it's kind of this twitchy game where you can get actually almost to like a semi-professional level just on playing quickly.
Interesting.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Some people really like that and some people don't.
Right. Most of those people are probably on Adderall.
Correct. Correct. But then I saw, I don't know, a couple of years ago, Team Liquid, they have a lot of really successful StarCraft players.
Sure.
They decided to start a Dota 2 team.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I guess I'll check it out. And I turned out, like, I really like Dota 2.
Yeah.
And my first kind of dip into the competitive scene was with the D2L.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about later.
Absolutely.
I think it was either season 2 or season 3. I don't remember which. But yeah, so I'm kind of a refugee from the StarCraft scene.
Okay.
I've also played a ton of World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Was heavy into the raiding scene in World of Warcraft.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's kind of what my life has been as far as gaming goes.
Yeah. Myself, I have pretty much.
Do you want a jelly bean, Jared?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I started playing PC gaming around 1996-ish.
We used to LAN together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Playing Half-Life.
Okay.
So I got really into the first-person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of Half-Life, and then into the other mods, Team Fortress, and
Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
1.6.
So, yeah, I played a lot of Counter-Strike.
Was it 1.4 that they had the jeeps that you could ride around?
Oh, those are so great.
Those were so imbalanced, though.
Oh my god, they're awesome. But so that's where a lot of my gaming came in. During college, I got into console gaming again with the FPS.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Halo and then Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where my background was. So transitioning into a game like Dota was very difficult for me.
Right.
But it has a lot of elements that I personally enjoy a lot.
Okay. Like what?
Specifically the drafting.
Okay.
And just the hero selection, just the vastness of it. I really like to learn things.
Yeah.
So there's just so much to learn in Dota that I really got into it. So
there's what, like 100 plus heroes?
Like 105, something like that.
Yeah. Lots of combinations.
Yeah. So five people a team, that's a lot.
And very few skills overlap too.
Right.
Very few. There's maybe only a couple I can think of.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. Like maybe Blink.
Right.
Or Crystal Maidens, Crystal Nova. Or
right. Yeah.
Her and Lich have the same thing.
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, there's just so much to it that, yeah.
Okay.
It just really turns me on. Really gets me going.
Really turns you on.
Yeah.
Really drives the buttons, as you said.
It drives the buttons, yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of drafts, and that being one of our, well, I should say one of your favorite parts of the game.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I enjoy the complexity and the nuances of the drafting.
Yeah.
But I definitely lean on you to do that.
No, I understand.
I have the ability to work from home, and it's very common for me in the middle of the day to send you a message that says, I need someone to work on. Who should I practice?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we're going to do in companion with the podcast
mm-hmm.
is we are going to also cast a game weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll be one of ours. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be something else.
Right.
Or potentially viewer submissions.
Yes.
Listener submissions,
that's
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So the one that we're doing this week is one that we actually played.
Right.
It was a captain's mode.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a full hero pool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a full hero pool. There's certain ones that aren't selectable within all pick. Yeah, but within captain's mode.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So wait, let's set up the the scene here.
Okay,
it was you and me
mm-hmm.
and our friend
Yadneb mm-hmm.
and our friend Chris.
Yeah,
who we have a casual tryhard teams
right.
team, and I'm using team in quotes.
Yes,
because
everyone can see it.
Right.
Yes,
and if we did team matchmaking once, and that was horrific.
It was a little rough.
The teams we were playing against had like 10 times as much experience as us.
Yeah. But after our three matches, we were ranked 2,573rd in North America. So
I'll
that was
that.
Nice. So
I'll take that.
I felt like that was okay.
Yeah.
I felt like that was...
On the road to TI4.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we only have to jump a lot of them. But hey, you know.
So we're kind of looking for a more solid fifth person to do... to do matchmaking with.
Right.
Not team matchmaking, but party matchmaking.
Yeah, just having fun matchmaking.
Having fun, yeah. So we typically have to play with a fifth randomly selected stand-in.
Right.
So...
And tonight we couldn't get one of our friends, so we have correct. A real random stand-in.
Correct.
Which was interesting.
It was interesting.
We played a couple of matches. We got a couple good ones, and then we got some couple bad ones.
Which
but that's
is how
fine.
It goes.
That's yeah. fine.
Someone has to win and someone has to lose.
That's part of the game.
That's part of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
From what I understand, you can't draw.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So yeah, somebody does win, somebody does lose. So I guess I'll just kind of go down all of the team,
yeah,
I guess.
Perfect.
And we'll kind of discuss what our thoughts were, mm-hmm. and try to figure out what the other team was thinking too.
Perfect. Yeah.
So
I'm going to continue eating jelly beans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, I first picked Crystal Maiden.
Okay.
And I like that for a lot of reasons. One of the things is the Arcane Aura.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Very good.
So great.
Yeah.
And she's
especially
just...
because it's global.
Yeah.
I don't think it was global before the patch. Right?
I don't believe it was.
Yeah. So huge.
Right. And again, I do want to preface that we're pretty casual people here.
Pretty casual. Pretty bad.
Yeah. We're not great. And we might say some things aren't correct.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just let us know and...
yeah, just call us out, flame us, whatever. It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, we like it.
We don't feed the trolls, though. Or at least... Jared doesn't. I typically do.
Yeah, we kind of do.
I actually do, yeah.
Yeah. So then I asked our fifth, like, what he normally plays. Because we have some flexibility within the four of us where some of us play different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And... he said that he normally likes to play carry, and I was like, okay.
Okay, good.
Sure. So we picked...
it's not a pub game.
Yeah.
Unless somebody demands to play carry.
Right, absolutely. It's fine. So we pick up Gyrocopter.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a pretty hard carry, and he does a lot of damage mm-hmm. late game, which is what we were looking for.
Right.
Because I kind of had an idea of what else I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Third pick, we came and ended up picking... Tidehunter, because we wanted another support, we wanted a little AoE stun, we wanted to kind of get that initiator.
Tidehunter is almost good in almost any situation.
Right.
Unless you're playing against Rubick.
Right. Or you're playing against people that are good.
Correct.
Yes. So, again, casually, he's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Which brings us to our fourth pick, which, again, is another great casual pub stomper, right. in my opinion. And that's Spiritbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's
difficult to deal with.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't have vision, he's,
yeah,
it's he, pretty much,
he kind of fits into that, cheese category.
Oh, absolutely.
With like, Bloodseeker and
yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah,
and
for
Bounty
sure.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Phantom Lancer.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys.
Yeah. So basically, my thinking with him is, A, I really love playing Spearbreaker.
Yeah.
So that was going to be, that's mine. So since I'm drafting, I get to play what I want to play.
That's right, baby.
So I'm playing Spearbreaker because he, again, can initiate team fights.
Correct.
Once you get the Ag Scepter on him, that upgrade that he gets with it, it allows his ultimate to become an AoE stun. So
what is his ultimate? Let's talk about his ultimate.
His ultimate is basically, before you get the upgrade, it's a targeted knockback and stun.
Okay.
I think it's like 2.5 seconds.
Okay.
So a pretty decent stun.
Yeah. Single target, though.
Single target, yes.
Without Aghanim Scepter.
Right. And then once you get the Aghanim Scepter upgrade, it becomes, I think it's like a 200 AoE. So a pretty small AoE.
Okay.
But if... you can get people to clump. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
So he's just a lot of fun to play, honestly.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Really good initiator.
Really good initiation.
Yeah.
Especially with... I feel like at our level, you don't have a ton of people who split push or...
right.
...do a rat Dota.
Yes.
Meaning they just kind of all scurry around wherever and
right.
farm their faces off.
Right.
Just a lot of 5-on-5 team fighting.
Yeah.
So he's real good in that situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then our final pick, we thought we just needed a little more damage because we had a lot of with both Tidehunter and Spearbreaker, it just was a little heavy on A, melee characters.
Yeah.
And B, just not real.
A little bursty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we needed something to have a little more sustain.
Even Gyrocopter's a little bit bursty.
Right.
With good farm, his right click gets to be pretty good, but for a long time, he really relies on
the Rocket Barrage.
Rocket Barrage and Call Down.
Right.
And Flat Cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that was a good move. And I believe we put Razor mid.
Correct.
Did we pick him as a counterpick?
No.
No.
No, we really didn't counterpick them at all because their draft made zero sense.
Yeah.
Because their five characters, I have no idea what the order was because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Or I don't really remember.
And I don't think we have the bands either.
No, we don't. No.
Which is unfortunate.
It is. But they had Visage, Lion, Timber, or Bristleback.
Bristleback.
Yeah. Bounty Hunter and Rubick.
Okay.
And when they completed that, I wasn't quite sure who was going to carry.
Yeah.
Basically meaning who's going to deal all that damage at the end of the game when you have all the more health and items and everything. Like
who's going to win you the game?
Right. Yeah. Who's going to kill the other team when the other team's big?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what Gyro was in my mind, was he deals that lots of damage to people.
Right.
Right. And their closest thing was Bounty Hunter, which, if you grab Sentry Wards or Gem of Trucite,
he's basically done.
Right.
Well, and a lot of people are grab him for track.
Right, which is fair.
Which is kind of like a AoE Hand of Midas, almost. You use him on a hero.
Right, so basically you get extra gold when you kill him.
Right.
Which is great.
To everyone in the area.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. But if you're... I see that more than as a support, like you're helping the team more than you're carrying the team.
Right. He's very much set up as a ganker.
Right.
He's not meant to be, you know, the guy that's in the middle of the team fight, just right clicking and just melting faces.
Or possibly they were thinking maybe Bristleback can carry, which again, he can tank and he can initiate, but. Unless you're in the pro scene, I don't think he carries too well.
Yeah, he's a good, he's your classic offlaner.
For sure.
Where he's just there to kind of be annoying, to prevent the other carry from getting farm, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then they have a lot of burst on their team, which is great.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a lot of coordination as well when they played.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of talk about that when we actually get into the cast, if you will. So,
which I think we're going to put that up on our website.
Yeah,
we're
that's
gonna
right.
Start a YouTube channel, put that up on the website, welikedota.com.
Yeah, that's right.
We own that domain now, Jared.
I'm very excited about that, by the way.
Tune into that if you want to see us cast a full match and just have a fun time casting very casual non-professional matches. It should be great.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The reason I really enjoy drafting is you're basically creating this team.
Right.
And that's what I like more than like playing if you will all pick.
Right.
Because when you play all pick, you basically play five man carries.
Yeah.
Because who wants to play a game where you're not having a lot of fun?
Right. Nobody.
Nobody.
Because in all pick, for those who don't know, everyone's free to pick whoever they want.
Yeah. And as long as you get to them before the other person.
Right. And, so, you know, everyone usually picks a carry or a high damage dealer, which makes sense.
It does, because you want to deal damage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing with Dota is you have to work as a team.
Correct.
And if you're constantly taking experience and you're taking farm or what like last hits or basically how you get a more exponential way of getting gold from that person that needs it.
Yeah.
Because ideally, if you kind of what they call lane 2-1-2, so two people in the top lane, one person in the mid, two in the bottom, only one person's grabbing that farm, grabbing that extra gold.
Yeah. Because the idea is carries only become good when they have a gold advantage.
Right.
They really only become good once they get a certain number of items up, a certain right. number of experience points.
You're more item dependent.
Correct. Yeah. So when you have all of the experience and all of the items being split evenly amongst all those people, suddenly nobody has an advantage and nobody is carrying the team.
Right, which is fine when you're playing against another team that does that.
Correct.
Right, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I think one of the nuances and one of the things I really like a lot about Dota is the fact that you can kind of create this team where you have different structures and different players play different roles. And
correct.
It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, some people really, like, I typically try to play carry. I like to play carry. I like right. to, for some reason, I really have a lot of enjoyment of just farming my face off. And
right. And you're good at it.
I'm getting better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not pro level.
No.
No.
It's fun, though. I really
no,
like it.
No, but you, with carries and last hitting, it's a lot of timing issues.
Right.
And I don't have that timing.
Right.
I know I don't. So, and a lot of that does come with practice and all that.
Yeah.
But you have it naturally, so we yeah. should put you on carry.
Yeah. And some people like to play support, which
right.
those are the people who make sure the carries are getting the farm that they need and not
protecting them.
Right.
Grabbing things that are more beneficial to the team, right. buying those items.
Wards.
Like wards.
Couriers.
And the courier.
The mechanism.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're typically very strong in the early game.
Right.
You see a lot of early kills coming out from supports.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they normally will scale very well just with experience as opposed to also needing
correct.
Items.
Typically start to become less effective towards
100%,
the end
yes.
of the mid game
because they don't hit as hard. They don't have those items that help them hit hard.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then there's also utility, mm-hmm. you know, people who stun or gank or, you know, whatever.
Have no idea what they should be correct. Doing, like Abaddon.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Just get hit and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just hit me.
Right. Okay. So yeah, let's move into a bit of the news section.
Okay.
Here. So as we kind of talked about earlier, we really like to follow the competitive scene.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. And Dota 2 has a very robust competitive scene. Lots of independent tournaments, and then also the International 3, of course.
Right. The Super Bowl.
Right. Soon to be the International 4.
Right.
Yes.
T.I.
T.I.
Not the rapper.
Correct. So the D2L final, or D2L finals just happened, season 4.
Yes.
And we were at my house until about 2 a.m. watching it.
Yeah. If anybody was watching it, that was a little ridiculous. I mean, it started at 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
And I realized that they had a lot of issues that happened. And I mean, every game went to 3 games when they were playing best of 3. Right. So there was a lot going on. But man, that was late.
And I always feel like there's so many pauses happening.
There's a lot of pauses.
A lot of pauses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really entertaining. And I think definitely the big story coming out of that event was... Team Fnatic.
Yeah.
Fnatic, man. They,
I was rooting for them, man.
Went to the tournament with 2 stand-ins.
Yeah.
AUI 2000 from Speed Gaming.
I'd believe so, yes.
Formerly of Dignitas.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Demon.
Formerly of Dignitas as well.
Who is quite possibly one of my new favorite players.
He was a lot of fun.
He has quite a bit of personality.
He really does.
Yeah. Like, he was taking selfies.
Yeah.
While sitting at the computer playing.
Combining him and No-Tail, like, there was a lot going on. Because yeah. No-Tail on Fnatic is very vocal.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can overhear him shouting and yelling.
Right.
Via the casters.
They had one match with Alliance that they knew they were going to lose. And towards the end, you could just hear them say, "Get Ake! Get Ake!"
Yeah. So Fnatic, they were a lot of fun because they were kind of an underdog coming in with the 2 stand-ins.
Yeah.
And before their first match, they had never scrimmed.
Right.
Which they had never played together.
It blows my mind.
So they lose their first, what, 3 matches?
I don't know. They weren't doing so well.
No, I think
the first couple matches.
They got swept by Alliance in the first one.
Right.
And then
something happened.
Yeah. Something special.
Yeah. They suddenly figured out how to play together.
Right. Well, one of the issues was I think they were playing No-Tail, who was normally playing support.
Yeah.
They were trying to play him mid because their mid player, Hani, was gone.
Right.
So he was one of the ones missing.
Yeah.
They ended up playing Demon mid.
Yeah.
And put Hani back on support. Right. And boy, they started cooking after that.
How many times did he pick Shadow Fiend?
I think it was at least two times. It might have been three.
Yeah. But he just destroyed
the first
on
time.
Shadow Fiend.
The first time Demon played Shadow Fiend. Yeah, that was nuts.
And well, no, they wound up beating Alliance. Remember? They had to go.
Yes, the second time.
I forget exactly how the brackets worked out.
It was really weird.
Yeah, I forget. Because they were in the losers. I think since they came in at like third or fourth place, they just had to go through the losers.
No, what it was is they played Alliance the first day, okay. Lost to them. So Alliance moved into the winner's bracket final.
And then
they lost. And then they played Fnatic a second time.
Yeah.
And Fnatic ended up taking that one 2-1.
Right. Which that third match that they played was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Fnatic played from behind for like 35, 40 minutes. And then somehow pulled out the stop and won.
Well, I think Alliance kind of threw that game.
You think so?
I think they did. In Dota, throwing is basically where you're just... it's not necessarily trying to lose on purpose, like with other sports.
Right.
Like that's what I thought it was originally, because I'm not in the competitive gaming scene. Like I didn't know when I came into started playing this, I didn't know what an AOE was, an area of effect, things like that.
That
like,
comes from the old D&D days.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I actually learned playing D&D what AOE meant. Right. So, but
not that we do that or anything.
No, we're not nerds.
We totally do.
We have it all the time.
Yeah, we play a lot. We don't play a lot of D. We used to play.
We just play a lot of D&D.
We used to. Yeah.
Dota kind of.
Took over. Yeah.
But it totally derailed me.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
It's totally my fault.
No, it's fine.
You were talking about Alliance and how they threw the match.
Okay, so throwing. Yeah, so throwing is basically where you're just dying a lot. And when you're dying, you're giving their team a lot of gold, a lot of experience, a lot of chances to...
Evil geniuses, they're famous for throwing.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they threw a little bit.
Yeah. So let's... let's talk about how, I don't know, I read a lot of hate for AC,
yeah,
one of the casters.
Yeah.
And, what's that?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was a lot of hate for him.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. I don't necessarily know why.
Yeah.
He's got a couple things he can work on, but...
Who doesn't?
He does a good job making the matches entertaining.
He does. And that's one thing that I really, kind of appreciate was that as a casual fan,
mm-hmm.
Not a super hardcore fan, I consider myself.
Yeah.
He makes it really entertaining,
right?
And I'm a huge sports guy.
Right.
Like I'm that kind of sports guy.
Hockey.
Yeah, I like hockey a lot.
Yeah.
And if you ever listen to a hockey broadcast, like especially from the radio,
yeah,
they're talking constantly.
Constantly. Well, they have to. It's
yeah.
The radio.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's going on here. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Jared, what's next here? Do you want to talk about the Super Speed Dino / Speed Gaming controversy?
That is quite a controversy as well.
Yeah.
Do we have time for it today?
Yeah, we got enough time.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to play a quick clip here. I'll give it a little bit of a introduction. Basically, Star Ladder Season 8... is going on right now. They're round robin. So basically there's 18 teams. They're doing all best of one games. They're playing every other team. And the top four of them go to a LAN final.
Correct.
And have the potential of winning money, which is great. So there's a bit of a controversy brewing from this.
Right.
And we'll let our good friend Zayori kind of explain.
I think we can both agree. Zayori is our favorite new caster, by the way.
For sure.
Oh, he's
for
golden.
Sure. He's got a golden voice.
Plays Primus.
Yeah.
Plays the Allman Brothers.
Absolutely. He does play the music in between, which is nice, and not just stock music, D2L, but it's great.
Radio, yeah. As he calls it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
So we're going to listen to a little bit here.
Take it away, Zayori. Oh.
Production value.
Hold on.
Production value.
It's got a buffer.
Wait.
Amongst all of that deliberation,
there was
quite the scandal about who could stand in and who couldn't and what's happening here. Whew. So to recap, we're finally in this game. And part of the reason this was such a big deal is because this is a really big game for Rock's Kiss. They are on the cusp of qualifying for the top four. And if they lose this one, it's pretty grim that they'll be able to do that. That will take them to 5 losses. Right now, they only have 4. And if they win this one, they should be safe, secured safe and sound up into that top 4 situation. Part of that frustration was that SSD, a team that isn't even really a team, has the power to knock them out. And if they take their seat instead of them, well, it's sort of just like throwing it in the trash can because SSD isn't going to participate in the LAN anyway. So I can understand some of the frustration. And, of course, Flames turned into Flames. Somebody pulled out the flamethrower. And then, oh, man, hydro pumps were going everywhere. It was madness in the lobby. So glad we're finally here. And Roxkiss, they came to play. Now, they do not have a stand-in. That is Go Black. Okay. He was trolling a little bit.
So yeah, the situation is basically explained that way. So this is actually Roxkiss's last game of the 17. So this is their last game. They have to win it. Right. If they win it, they're in. SSD, Star Ladder goes, it was like a month, basically. So of the 18 teams, 3 of them ended up disbanding during.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So 3 of the 18 teams basically are like, hey, guys, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Two of them just forfeited all the rest of the games.
Right.
But this other team, SSD, had 2 guys that basically played the rest of the games out because they wanted to.
They were on the way to disbanding.
Right.
Or they had announced they were disbanding.
They announced that they were disbanding. But the other 2 guys wanted to continue to play their games because they wanted to play.
Correct.
And basically, the Star Ladder governing body.
The admins.
Yeah, whatever it might be.
Yes.
And I might be misunderstanding some of this because I think I'm getting it all from Beyond the Summit.
And
so.
You're not Russian.
Right. Well, there's that, too. basically, then, they said, yeah, you can do it. You can finish out. You can play your games. All this basically said that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they had been playing then with 3 stand-ins for most of the time. And on this specific day, for some reason, the 3 stand-ins that they got were 3 players from Speed Gaming.
Speed Gaming, who won MLG Columbus, by the way.
Right.
Beat the likes of Alliance and Na'Vi.
Right.
And Sigma and Fnatic. Actually, right. I don't think Fnatic was there.
Yeah.
But they're a pretty good team.
Yeah. And they're really hot right now.
Yeah.
So they ended up playing 2 games prior to this, SSD did. And according to the bylaws of Star Ladder,
the bylaws,
the other teams had to okay the 3 stand-ins from 1 specific team.
Right.
Because basically you're standing in a team at this point.
Yeah.
It was Speed Gaming plus 2 other guys, not SSD, plus 3 random people.
Right.
So the other 2 teams said, yeah, that's fine. They lost to Alliance in 1 game. They beat another team in the other game. Yeah. SSD did.
Right.
So, well, Speed Gaming plus beat them.
Right. Speed Gaming with 2 stand-ins.
Right. And then Roxkiss obviously said, you know what? We're not going to play you guys.
Right. Because they're on the bubble.
Right. They have the chance of winning a lot of money.
Yeah.
And of course, they do find a 3rd stand-in, so they're only playing with 2 stand-ins from Speed Gaming, and then a 3rd player that actually was originally from the SSD roster.
Right.
So, which was kind of funny that he was available the whole day, and
right.
Why wasn't he playing with the other?
Right. Exactly.
Team? Like, so there's some weird stuff going on for sure.
Yeah.
So we fast forward to the end of the match here, and Roxkiss, of course, ends up losing the match.
Correct.
Which
is to be expected.
Yeah. I mean, it was storybook for sure.
Yeah. But the whole controversy is, you know,
now,
should that be allowed?
Right.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah. I'm personally of the...
What's your opinion there, Brian?
My opinion is I think the admins of Star Ladder should just make a hard and fast rule no matter what.
Okay.
Don't leave it up to the teams to decide whether they're okay with it or whatever, you know?
Right.
Just make a rule one way or the other. Personally, I feel that you should only have 2 stand-ins and maybe like a roster of stand-ins that you lock in at the beginning of the season or something.
That'd be fair.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Or, I don't know. It seems like Roxkiss was put in a pretty unfair situation.
They were. I would agree with that. My biggest thing is looking at that actual game, which...
Oh. Air pressure.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Looking at the actual game, they played awful.
Yeah.
And understandably, they were probably pretty pissed about the situation, right, because it took about, I'm gonna think it was about 45 minutes of, that's why if you heard at the beginning of the clip, he said, "We're finally starting the game."
Oh. Yeah, it was about hung around for 45 minutes,
basically trying to figure out this stand-in situation.
Right.
So they were refusing to play, which understandably,
yeah.
But they played so bad.
Yeah,
they played so bad, Brian.
Yeah. No, and that's fine.
I don't feel bad for him anymore.
I do. They shouldn't have had to been put in that situation.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you still have to, at the end of the day, play the game.
Right. I understand that.
And they played so bad. I mean, at one point, I think they were down like 11 or 12 to 2.
Okay.
And they were just, you could see the frustration in their play, which is
right. Crazy. Yeah.
So I can't feel bad for him.
It's understandable. The whole situation, though, to me just seems unprofessional.
It shouldn't have been a situation that got put in. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, enough of that. So, Jared.
Yes, Brian.
I believe Monday, our home server, US East,
mm-hmm.
will be undergoing 24-hour maintenance.
I can't play Dota Monday?
You cannot play Dota on Monday.
What the heck?
I know. What are you going to do with your life, Jared?
I don't know.
I play Spelunky or Rogue Legacy.
Okay.
Or Hearthstone.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, so Valve is kind of putting some time and love into expanding some of the reliability of the Dota 2 servers.
Well, that'd be great.
Which is much needed.
Yeah, I'll take a day of not playing.
It seems like all last week the servers were under DDoS attacks.
It was rough. It was rough.
There was one night where we played and we had
like 350 ping.
It was really bad.
It was really nuts.
And
I'm blaming my bad play that night on the ping.
Yes. It was totally lag.
It was totally the lag.
Totally lag.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't.
There was probably 2 or 3 hours worth of downtime at the D2L finals.
Yeah.
Because the Steam servers were down.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, it wasn't.
Not good.
It wasn't good at all.
So really excited about a little server maintenance.
A little maintenance.
A little maintenance, a little love.
Give them a reboot.
Right. So every server after the US East one is going to get 24 hours worth of maintenance.
Oh, okay.
So if you
they're going through and...
Yeah, all servers are getting
some
love.
So I can play on US West if I want to.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm sure the West would just be happy to see your play.
I'm sure they would be.
Yes. But yeah, if you want to see that schedule, you can go to dota2.com/maintenance. I think that brings us to the end of the show, Jared.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I had a fun time doing our first episode with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's see.
How can they flame at us?
You can flame us at welikedota.com. You can follow me on Twitter at byinger, B-Y-I-N-G-E-R.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jared, where can we find you online?
You can find me on the Twitter as well.
Yes.
I am at +3000.
Which I'm told is a gambling reference?
Yeah, it's a gambling reference.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's PLUS number 3000.
We'll have to talk about betting rares one of these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Another aspect of the game where I was like, I could do this?
This is
so
a thing.
Great.
Yeah.
So great.
And I'm also going to try and put this up on Reddit. So hopefully, I'm a little scared to do that. Kind of opens us up to
the black hole of the internet,
hole of Reddit.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
That's fine.
So you know you can respond to us there. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. And,
absolutely. We should get an email address so that they can.
We'll get an email address set up one of these days.
Okay. Okay. But otherwise, contact us via the website. Is there a like a address book that they can sign?
No.
There needs to be.
There'll be something.
Okay.
I just put the website up today.
All right.
But yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later.